Recovery Today on UKHealthRadio.com. Join me and my guests on this voyage of recovery and discovery. Well, hello and welcome. This is Jim Smith and welcome to Recovery Today. Now, this is a very special show, actually. It's my last show. It's number 24. And because when I started this whole project for UK Health Radio, I had to commit for 6 months. So this is the last show. And we're going to go out with a bit of a bang because, as you know, I've had guests, solo guests for my 23 shows. This is slightly different. I've come down to a place called Anna Treatment Services in Farlington, which is near Southsea in Hampshire, near Portsmouth. And this is a treatment centre, or known as a rehab. And I've known about Anna, or ANA, as it's sometimes known, for many years in my role as a care manager, assessing clients for treatment for substance misuse and addiction, and also coming to do my music and story sessions. So it's a wonderful place. I've been to lots of rehabs all over the world, and this, if there was a top 10 of rehabs, I think I would have to place this at number one, just for many reasons, but consistency, the staff haven't changed for years. They're a wonderful team here. Anyway, without more ado, my first guest today is a lovely lady who co-founded Anna. She started it all those years ago, and so I'm not going to ramble on anymore. Her name's Libby Reed. So Libby, I'm going to just ask you to tell our listeners about the history of Anna and how you started it. So over to you.
First of all, thank you for that intro. That was super. It was lovely. Thank you very, very much, Jim. Well, how Anna started. Very, very unconventional in our beginnings, and it was not planned. Anna kind of emerged following myself being made redundant by another treatment facility. And a group of clients that I was working with did not want to return to Dorset to complete their treatment. So it was very awkward, really. There was a withdrawal of all staff from the facility, and six or seven clients kind of just sat there. Anyway, to cut a very, very long story short, initially I just had intended to offer one group a day for these group of clients while they got acclimatized to the fact that they were going to have to go back in the community and manage the best they could and use the rooms, of course, as well. But the one group a day kind of turned into a full-time program where we were doing one-to-ones, group work, relapse prevention, different types of therapies, and supporting those clients for a day at a time. Also, I had talked somebody out of leaving their previous job to come and join me in the new treatment facility. They were also made redundant. A guy called Bill Brown.
Right.
And, I mean, he was marvellous. And he agreed that if I wanted to do this, he'd come in and help me for this time. So we did that. And we worked in very difficult circumstances with no facilities. Christopher, my late husband, had given us a computer and the paper clips and a telephone, everything we kind of needed just to deliver a very basic program. We were just about to pack up. People came to the end. They were very, very grateful because some of those people had been quite poorly. A care manager wandered in one day, a guy called Lawrence Taylor. And he asked if he could spend the day with us, which he did, just observing what we did and how we worked. at the end of the day, he said to me, if I pay you to take a client, would you take one for free? So that really was how Anna started.
Started our first
paying client.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was buy one, get one free.
Yes.
That particular person is still clean today. And that
can you just, sorry, for the listeners, can you just clarify clean, that's abstinent.
Abstinent from, of all mood-altering chemicals.
Thanks, yeah.
And that was in 1998.
Wow.
So yes. it was quite a, in fact, many of those people are still clean because what it did, it created a community working together.
Yes.
For their recovery, to survive, to it became very, very close.
A recovering community.
It really did.
Yes. Yes.
Also, at that time, there were very, very few meetings.
Yeah.
I think there was one NA a week in Portsmouth, and there were about four AA meetings. And as you know, today, you can go to a meeting any day of the week, night, or during the daytime, weekends, that the whole city is abuzz with support and meetings.
Yeah. And now, let's bring it up to the present. What's your capacity, where you are now in Farmington?
Well, to be honest, Anna just took on a life of its own from there, and very quickly we outgrew a few rooms.
Yes.
And we took over the entire building.
Yes.
However, it was a day programme.
I remember,
clients moved, lived in the community and came in daily.
That's right.
In 2005, Christopher died, my late husband died.
Yeah.
And Richard Johnson came to join us and was very, very active in kind of moving us forward to keep us open. It became very apparent we needed to become residential.
Yes.
Everything was, you know, looking at CQC, at tightening policies, procedures, and professionalism.
Sure.
So not only just very good counsellors, but and a very good programme, but the infrastructure.
And detoxing.
And detoxing,
on site.
Yes. Whereas previously we'd detoxed in the community.
That's right.
So it was kind of quite a shift for us.
Yeah, huge shift,
But, I mean, today we've now got a 29-bed residential rehab. We've got a secondary living skills program and living accommodation that clients can stay for up to 2 years.
Really, yes.
For 19 people, 19 individuals. So those clients aren't in treatment anymore. You know, they are living in the community.
That's right. Yeah.
They need to be training or working and saving towards their own tendencies and what they want to do. So the aim is to deliver a program that will take somebody from detox right back into the community with confidence.
That's right.
And the ability to get a job and earn. Which is happening, which is, you know, is very exciting for us.
Yes.
To see people.
Yes, it is.
Kind of go out and prosper, really.
That's it. Yeah. No, that's wonderful, Libby. Well, thanks. I mean, you know, I'm going to talk to Richard a bit later, and he will perhaps go into the treatment a little bit more or whatever. But that's been really helpful. So it just leaves me to ask you what your choice of music is, and perhaps say a little bit about it.
Oh, well, my choice of music is going to be Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm going to ask you to play it with Jeff Buckley singing it.
Yes, yeah.
However, Leonard Cohen is probably my all-time favourite artist. And, you know, I was devastated when he passed away. And I never thought I'd want to hear it by another singer, but I think Jeff Buckley just brings something else to it.
Yes.
However, Leonard Cohen was very, very prevalent in my early years, 13, 14 onwards.
Yes. Yeah.
To the extent my poor mother thought I was on the brink of committing suicide when she heard me playing my music, and I was removed from the house to a garden, to a caravan at the end of the garden when I continued to play him. So, yes. There's many, so many memories
yes.
at those times
there is,
brings
yeah.
back to me. So.
Okay. Well, let's play Jeff Buckley singing Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah.
The minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair, and she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. But I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. A time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, thanks again, Libby, for that. That was really comprehensive. And thanks for your choice of music. It's beautiful. And Jeff Buckley was such a talented artist. Amazing. Now, I have with me now Richard Johnson. Now, Richard is the chief executive of Anna and also responsible for, well, going out and getting new initiatives for the project. But I think I'll leave it to you, Richard, to explain, you know, just perhaps give a little bit of history and when you joined Anna and how that ANA or Anna, and maybe you could say a little bit, I know it's an old story of what it stands for. And
yeah, we'll do. Yeah, I joined Anna, well, it would be the start of my 15th year in September, so September 2005, to help Libby run it.
Yeah.
And since then, we've moved premises and programs have changed, not beyond all recognition, because the philosophy is the same. But they've modernized and we've moved forward quite a lot. I'll talk a bit about those in a minute.
It's
funny you mentioned Anna. Everyone refers to the organization as Anna Treatment Centers,
ANA.
When Libby and Christopher begun the organization, it was an acronym for alcohol and narcotics addiction treatment centres.
Yes,
but we all know that narcotics is a fairly Americanized term and not often used here.
Mm, that's right.
And everyone started calling us Anna or ANA anyway. We dropped the full name and just stuck with Anna. It's a friendly and warm name for what we do, and that's what we are. So we're kind of stuck, and we're really happy with Anna.
And also, there's it's quite a nice little phrase, actually, a treatment in the real world.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
you use that.
We do use that. It's like a strap line for us.
Yes,
I'm really glad you remembered that.
Yeah,
mentioned it. It's we believe that. Well, the majority of our clients go back to an urban environment.
Mm.
We believe. In keeping it as real as possible in terms of their recovery. They need to get well in one and get resilience in an urban environment to be able to live in one.
Yeah.
So we are very much of Portsmouth and local to Portsmouth,
which
has its own problems.
Yes.
We try and turn those problems into something valuable for our clients in recovery.
Yeah.
Hence, treatment in the real world.
Yeah. So speak a bit about how Anna's changed.
Yes.
You know, over the years.
Yeah, Libby was saying, I think, that until then it was a quasi-resi structure. Where clients would live in independent houses and travel into a central point for treatment each day.
Yeah.
And we really needed to create a different environment where we could provide a better service. Mm. And that was about not the program itself, it was about buildings.
Yeah, sure.
We sold or stopped leasing quite a number, and we managed to be able to get hold of this building that we're in right now, Fleming House in Farlington.
Yes.
Which was under different ownership and use before we got hold of it.
Sure.
And we were able to house all the staff management structure here and become a residential service. And one of the first things I did after a couple of years of getting my feet under the table with Libby's help, Anna, was to move us up here and then register us fully with CQC.
Yes.
And that changed how we operated.
Yeah.
We kept the service down in the town for a community living skills program, and we've since launched a housing service. But in between those times, after the CQC registration and Fleming House, we wanted to look at doing more for clients. Adding value to what we offer and doing everything we possibly could in addition to treating them to keep them clean and sober.
Sure.
And one of the frequent problems we had was getting clients into treatment from A to B. When in active addiction, clients would sometimes not arrive. They'd arrive too late to see the doc.
Yes.
The doctor, which would cause its own problems for detox.
Sure. Yeah.
Or they'd stop and have a last minute hurrah.
That's right.
or just be too fearful and anxious and agitated to be able to get on a train independently. So we started collecting them.
My car
has grown since 2009. Good. We drive to Manchester, Wigan, that far. We're on the south coast of England.
Yes.
To collect our clients and get them safely into treatment.
Yeah, yes.
So that was one of the other things that started.
Well, as a care manager, I never understood why there wasn't an escort service, and I used to accompany my clients,
yes,
you know, to treatment, because it's so important.
It is.
Yeah.
But there's no budget for that anymore.
No.
So we do it.
You do it yourself.
We do it as a free service.
Fantastic, yeah.
Client gets to know who's driving them. Oh, we can't afford drivers to just drive, so they all do other things. So
it's a good
beginning for the client, and a safe beginning.
Yeah. And talk us through, when a client gets here, he or she is detoxed, presumably, assessed.
Most will go through a detox and then a period of treatment.
Yeah.
Obviously, first 72 hours is most crucial. And we wrap resources around our clients to make sure they get over that first 72-hour experience.
Yeah.
It's a lot of medical support, but also emotional.
Yes.
Of equal amount.
That's right.
Clients need TLC, as well as
professional
medical assistance.
Sure.
Our GP service is great. The ones we work with have many years of experience in the community and working with one or two other rehabs as well as ours.
Yeah.
So detox, and then one level below insisting that a client would go into a group as soon as they felt physically well enough.
Yeah.
To start that process of self-examination.
That's right.
And looking at present and future.
Yeah, yeah.
Without beating our clients over the head about the past too much.
Sure. Yeah. And you also incorporate or use 12-step fellowship groups in the evening. They go out to meetings. And
AANA and CA attend and do shares three nights a week.
Yeah, they come here.
Clients down in the town will go to meetings.
Yeah.
Programs become far more eclectic.
That's good.
So a 12-step combined with CBT, derivative acceptance commitment therapy.
Yes.
Yeah. So we go for hearts and minds in that way, Jim.
Yes.
You know, there's a spiritual side, but there's also a very logical side to recovery.
Yeah.
We try and hit both.
And how long is the treatment? Does it vary from client to client, or is there?
Yeah, it does very much so. We offer 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 week programs, and people will extend, very rarely shorten their treatment duration.
Yeah.
But the programs become modular to allow us to do that. So it's not one size fits all, Anna. We're not a sheep.
No.
We tailor the program.
That's right. And your secondary care, I know, it's Lyle House, isn't it?
It's Lyle House in Albert Road.
Albert Road, yeah.
Clients live independently in the community, travelling for treatment each day to Lyle House.
Mm.
And secondary is more about the future.
Yeah.
It's more about planning for the future and getting well in the community and living, beginning to live as part of a productive member of society.
That's right.
Different stresses, not less stresses than up here,
no,
but different ones.
Different, of course.
Yeah.
Just it's coming towards the end, but your staff team, I think you've had a team for quite a long time, haven't you? There's not a lot of changes in the staff team.
There's a core team of 5 or 6 people that have been here longer than me.
That's right.
And some have been here equally as long.
Yes,
And they've become head of finance, they've become the centre manager is Karen, a French who's been with us almost since the beginning.
Mm.
And Alan Rodden is a senior counsellor helping with delivering the secondary programme.
Yes.
And those people are the core, Libby of course,
yes,
the core backbone of Anna. I'm still a new boy really compared to those.
I think that really, it shows that when I've come down here to do my session of stories and songs, I don't know how many I've done, quite a few over the years.
Yeah.
And every group, there's that enthusiasm, that passion, that energy for recovery.
Yeah.
I've never been here where it's been flat, never. There's been issues before, you know, somebody might have left or, you know, and there's a strange feeling in the group, but they've always had this enthusiasm for recovery.
Sure.
And it really speaks reams about the staff here, and
thanks.
It's wonderful. So Well, yeah, that's been really helpful, Richard. And oh, you say something about the loop and choices.
We begun the treatment loop in 2009 as an alternative to withdrawing treatment for clients who broke serious boundaries.
Yes.
And those would be mainly using drugs or alcohol.
Yeah,
But violence or threatened violence are also deal breakers here. You know, we don't talk zero tolerance to them. And we always felt if someone did make a poor decision, even if it was a momentary lapse of judgment, that discharging them from treatment, them losing their funding, and the other consequences, for example, overdose, relapse, overdose, and the potential health scares were too much of a consequence.
Sure.
So we partnered with one other rehab to create a loop where if a person messed up here, there would be a one-off opportunity for them to continue their treatment in another rehab.
Yes,
That's now grown to an organisation called Choices.
Yeah.
With 21 members.
Really,
providing a network of rehabs across the country, as far up as Gloucestershire and east and west. To give people that second chance if they mess up in one.
So important, yeah.
It's a free service.
Yeah.
We cover all the costs associated with transporting the clients.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's professional assessment.
Yeah, of course.
Policy and procedure behind it. It's been recognised by Public Health England as best practice as well.
Fantastic.
And we just started it in this office.
Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you. Yeah. Just one other point, and obviously not to mention anybody, but you have a good mix here on your staff of people who are in recovery, who have had the experience of addiction, and people who aren't.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's important.
It is important, and it runs right through Anna.
Yes.
I think we're geared about 60% people in recovery, 40% are not. I'm not in recovery, and Libby is. So at our level here, running the place, it's the same balance.
It's funny though, isn't it? I thought you were. Because I think, to some extent, you know, everyone is. And when you talk to people who haven't had an addiction experience, they're still in recovery from something.
Sure.
We're all trying to.
Got family members who've been through the mill with addiction.
And
trying to help with that. So I had prior experience before coming here.
Yeah. Right. Now, your choice of music. I know you love music. You love Bowie, and we've spoken about David Bowie.
We have, bless him.
But your choice today, well, it's a bit Bowie-related, isn't it? Just introduce it.
Yeah, the song I've chosen is Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. It was co-written with David Bowie in 1976-77, when they were cleaning up together in Berlin.
Yeah.
It was stolen by the Trainspotting movie in the early 90s, which I think glamorised opiate addiction to a degree.
Yeah.
So I want to reclaim the song as a recovery anthem for everyone out there, because it's a very positive song, Lust for Life, and that's what it's about.
Fantastic.
And I think Anna has that Lust for Life about the organisation, the feeling when you're here. So
most definitely. Thanks a lot, Richard. And here's Lust for Life by Iggy Pop.
million in prizes. I wear my torture film, drive a GTO, I wear a uniform, I line a government loan. I'm worth a million in prizes. Yeah, I'm through with sleeping on the sidewalk. No more beating my brains, no more beating my brains. With the liquor and drugs, with the liquor and drugs. Well, I'm just a modern guy. Of course I had it in my ear before. Could have lost for long. Could have lost for long.
Well, a big thank you again to Richard Johnson, and loved his choice of music, Iggy Pop, Lust for Life. What better for recovery, Lust for Life. Well, I've got a guy here, and it's very inspirational because his name's Matt, and he came through Anna in 2012 as a client, as a resident, did the treatment. You know, he's remained abstinent and in recovery since. And now he works here at Anna. There's a great tradition of that. You know, people that have come through the program, you know, at a later stage, they come here and work here. So that's fantastic, Matt. How are you finding things? Give the listeners a little bit about your life and what happened, okay?
I was quite hopeless, you know, for a long while. I was addicted to heroin and crack cocaine and also stuck on like a methadone prescription.
Right, yeah.
And also used to drink as well, so my life had become very messy.
Yes,
And I'd got to a point where, you know, I'd really kind of hit my lowest point in life. Mm. I was kind of 36. You know, I'd moved back home with my parents. And I'd break up with my partner.
Yeah.
And life just seemed really miserable, you know, and I kind of really was really hopeless. Yes, and it got to a point where I didn't really want to be on this world anymore, which is really quite sad now when I look back.
But which is sad, but that's what has to happen, isn't it? Before we, get the world to recover. And, So you asked for help and...
Yeah, and this is where I ended up. I asked my local services and they kind of said, right, we'll send you down to Portsmouth, because I'm not from Portsmouth originally. I actually lived in an area called Bedford down that way. And
did you get funded by
them? I was funded by their local council.
Yeah.
Who still actually fund here for residents, which is great considering the local climate, like what's going on with the way the country is financially. But
that's right.
Yeah, and I come here and got clean, you know, and
fantastic, yeah.
And kind of got introduced to tools in here that which they do to kind of stay clean, which was really, really important, which I kind of implemented in my life, and slowly and surely, you know, ended up working here, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that is. And how did that happen?
Well, it's been kind of weird. I've worked here, I've left here, I've come back, I've volunteered here, So when I kind of left here in 2012, I got involved in voluntary work in local charity shops, remained using the aftercare that they give you here. So I was always a face around, and I kind of hung around, got plenty of support, done voluntary work, and then the manager that was at secondary then asked me if I wanted a bit of voluntary work. So that's what I kind of done, and it progressed then from voluntary work, obviously, for about a year, two years, and once I was kind of about 2 years abstinent, then they offered me some work here, and I became a support worker here.
Yeah.
And I've done that role for a little while. Then I left and went somewhere else.
Yes.
But I've always kind of stayed here because my heart's here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's that kind of place, isn't it, Anna?
Yeah.
Once you've been here, you can't come back.
Yeah, stay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's what's happened. And now eventually I've gotten my newest role, which is where I work in the office, you know, and I meet and greet new guests, care managers and visitors.
Oh, that's really important.
Obviously new clients.
Yeah.
So, it's great. I love it.
Fantastic. And your life, you know, outside, that's obviously improved. And
definitely. You know, I've got a fantastic relationship now with my my family.
Yes.
My mum and dad.
Yeah.
Really proud of me. And,
yeah.
You know, it just continues to get better, doesn't it? You know, I'm living life... I've kind of building relationships that were really damaged, you know, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. took a long time. I've got my stepdaughter moving down with me this year, lovely. Which is fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah.
She's 16. Oh, she's going to start college down in Portsmouth. She's coming away from Bedford to come down here.
Yeah. We sometimes talk, you know, about our life beyond our wildest dreams. And the thing is, listeners, when I'm looking at Matt, you know, I really see it. I mean, I still feel that now, but, you know, he's kind of full of that.
Yeah. And I used to hear that. And I used to hear that. And at the time, my self-esteem was so low. And,
I know.
You know, I just felt so bad about myself. And all that guilt and shame that I carried when I first came into recovery.
Sure,
You know, I found it really difficult. And when people used to say that, I used to cringe and used to think, well, that might be your experience, but that's not going to be mine.
No, that's right.
But, you know, I'm really grateful that that's been my experience, you know. And it's not always easy, as you probably know yourself, Jim.
Not,
you know, life is life.
Yeah,
and
life's life.
We can't, you know, it happens. But the support that I've got in my life today is fantastic.
That's right. You know, I heard a lovely phrase the other day, actually. It's, I came to take and I stay to give.
Yeah,
right. I've got to be a bit quick because I've got one more person to interview. But this has been a pleasure, you know, talking with you and hearing your experience, Matt. And your choice of music is—it's not familiar to me, so I'm looking forward to listening to it. Can you just introduce your track?
Yeah, it's going to be—it's Ben Howard by an artist called Ben Howard, and it's Keep Your Head Up, which is a very fantastic. It was an album we played in here, a very uplifting album. It's a fantastic album.
Okay, thanks again, Matt.
Thank you.
I spent my time watching the spaces that had grown between us, and I cut my mind on second best, all the scars that come with the greenness. And I gave my eyes to the boredom, still the seabed wouldn't let me in. And I tried my best to embrace the darkness in which I swim. Now walking back down this mountain, the strength of a turning tide, oh, the wind so soft at my skin, yeah, the sun so hot upon my side. Oh, looking out at this happiness I search for between the sheets, oh, feeling blind to realize all I was searching for was me. Oh, oh, all I was searching for was me.
May you find happiness.
eyes like wildflowers, oh, with your demons of change.
Well, thanks. That's Ben Howard with Keep Your Head Up. Well, look, my last guest today from Anna is John. Now, John has been here for treatment for 3 months. Is that right, John? And he leaves
Thursday.
On Thursday.
2 days' time.
And say a little bit, John, about what you've got in those 3 months from this treatment.
Well, when I first came in, I was a complete mess.
Yeah.
and really didn't do very much for about the first 6 weeks. I was pretty much pretty untrusting, really. Yeah, and I think that's the main thing I've got out over the 12 weeks, was to start being open.
Sure.
Start looking at the real me rather than the one I constructed.
Yes.
Over the last 30 years of addiction.
That's right, yeah.
And I think the hardest thing was trust, really, at the end. And trust in yourself, and I think also the other thing is when you first come in, they tell you to be honest.
Yeah.
And I don't think you really realise what they really mean until you get to the point where you should be honest with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
First,
yeah, that's right.
Rather than anyone else. So how can you be honest with anybody else if you're not honest with yourself?
Yeah.
So that really hit me when I did my when I got my peer evaluation in the 8th week.
Yes.
And I got given all these defects that I had no idea that I had.
Yeah, I know.
And there was a whole group of people.
Yeah.
About 15 of them.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me.
It does, doesn't it?
If these people can see them, they must be there.
Like you, when I was in the group, I thought I was quite a nice guy, really. But when I got the feedback from my peers,
Yeah, I thought it was all the things that they told me were bad. I thought we were good things.
Well, good.
I thought, all right. Giving everybody loads of advice. And
that's right.
Telling them they were wrong about
control.
Control is the one, yeah. And impatience.
Yeah. So have you embraced the kind of future in the sense of, 12-step meetings? I've
done it all before.
Oh, you have anyway.
I'm a classic relapser.
Yes.
But I didn't really. I was playing lip service. Really.
Yeah. Sure.
This time it's sort of sunk in a bit.
Yeah.
You know. It's still only a beginning, but it really has sunk in this time.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell.
I'm a lot more. I hate that word serene because it's quite an old-fashioned word. Well, I'm a lot more comfortable with myself already.
Comfortable,
and there's a long, long way to go.
It's a good feeling, being comfortable. And you're going on to next Thursday. Well, this Thursday, is it?
This Thursday.
Oh, this Thursday. Great. And you're going on to secondary care.
Yeah. I'm just doing a little bit of secondary care's transition.
Yeah.
And then I'm going straight into Anna Works, which I haven't done in years and years. I'm going to be in a shared house.
Oh, that's right,
with about three other people.
Yeah.
So it'd be a bit like going back to university, really.
Yes, it's...
which I haven't done for 30 years. So that's going to be weird. But that's another... Everybody I've spoken to that goes into Anna Works says that it's the best thing that's ever happened to them.
And sure.
They're the people that we do the meetings with,
That's right.
Kerry and Neil and everything, they're my sort of age.
Yeah,
and they started off in shared housing, and they said it's the best thing that happened to them.
So oh yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I'm not nervous at all, actually.
No,
I probably will be as soon as I step out the door.
Yeah, I said it can be a great experience. I went to a halfway house after my treatment for 15 months, and there were 14 of us in the house. It was a big house and I just had one little room, but it was a wonderful experience, actually.
Yeah,
living. And I learned a lot, obviously, as you will.
Yeah. I also think the great thing is going through this, like your original question, this rehab here, is that there are a lot of familiar faces. If you go through the whole system, through secondary and through Anna Works, move into Portsmouth.
That's right.
There are lots. It's a lot. It makes it a lot easier if you've already got some friendly faces.
Oh yeah, of course it does. Yeah.
And not going back to where you were as well.
No.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great. So, you know, I wish you well, really, one day at a time. And all I can say is, you know, you, these interviews with Matt and now yourself and Libby and that, but it's brought taken me back to my beginnings in 1977 when I went to treatment in 76 and went to, you know, and it's all coming back and it was lovely times. But it's been lovely times in the last, you know, 42 years for me. And it's wonderful, you know, because I came here first at Anno when I was a care manager, I think, years ago. Sent people here, doing my music and stories here. So it's been a very kind of special place to me. So I'm really glad to see someone like yourself getting the benefit of what they offer.
Yeah.
So...
I'm looking forward to making new contacts and stuff. I hear there's a big music sort of community in Portsmouth.
Oh,
as well,
I'm sure there is. There
so
is.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, John. Obviously, for my listeners, John is a musician. It's been a theme of this whole lot of shows. You know, music running through.
Yeah.
Anyway, John. Look, all the best, and take care.
Thank you.
See you in the future, hopefully. Well, thanks for that interview, John. It was really good to get somebody who has actually benefited from the treatment here at Anna and has a good future to look forward to one day at a time. And I'd just like to thank everyone who's listened to these shows because I've thoroughly enjoyed them, every one of them. I hope you've got something from them or, you know, whatever. It's just been a real pleasure for me to present them and, you know, so thank you for listening. So maybe see you down the road a piece, okay? All right, bye-bye. Here's the number of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a fellowship for anyone who has a drinking problem. The number is 0800 917 7650. That's 0800 917 7650. The number of Narcotics Anonymous, this is a fellowship for anyone who has a drug problem. That's from 10 a.m. till midnight. The number is 0300 999 1212. 0300 999 1212. And finally, Al-Anon, which is a fellowship to support family and friends of the alcoholic. It's from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. The number is 0207 403 0888. That's 0207 403 0888.